Hello, welcome back to Intuitive Conversations with Tamara and Chantel. I'm Chantel Neufeld.
I'm Tamara Franz.
And today we're talking about men and women. We watched a YouTube video with, what's her name?
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yes,
Eat, Pray, Love, Elizabeth Gilbert.
and also I watched a movie called Ladies First on Netflix.
Yeah, and because we did our last episode on assumptions and some of the underlying assumptions that we might not be conscious of and how they shape our reality, we're kind of bringing this into the whole arena of men and women and sort of traditional patriarchal gender norms and how that's kind of dissolving and the confusion and maybe frustration sometimes that is bringing into how people relate with each other. So you watched this movie called Ladies First.
Yeah,
Tell us
it's
about
a
it.
very funny movie. It's number one on Netflix, so I'm sure a lot of you guys have already seen it. But yeah, I just thought it was so cool because there's so many things that I didn't really even notice were a thing, like that it was such a male dominated, or not dominated, but just like every little
Male
thing.
oriented,
Yeah,
maybe.
oriented. And like, in the business world, like around the boardroom table, it was like all men. And like, if one woman was there, it was just like, whoa, and like, are they just there because you needed a woman
The
to,
token woman.
yeah, the token woman. And so, yeah. And you had seen a movie in French. I don't remember what you said it
Yeah,
was
okay,
called,
so
but.
like you said, the premise of your movie was that this guy, what, he hits his head or
Yeah,
something,
he
or
hits
has a
his head
knife?
on a pole and then he is unconscious. And when he wakes up, then he's in this alternate reality where women are in charge,
So
and
the script has been flipped. Script has been flipped.
yes.
And I saw what I think is probably the same movie, but in French. And it was reversed, where the woman walked into a pole. It's been a long time. I think it was a woman. And then, yes, she woke up in a world where the women had the upper hand, had the privilege, and all that kind of thing. So.
There were so many things that I just didn't realize were a thing because I just assumed that that's just the way it was, and I didn't think to question it. Like, I just didn't see it.
Yeah, and that's such a good illustration of what we were talking about last time, which is how your underlying assumptions that are usually
And the
unconscious,
culture you grow up in.
that are conditioned from young age, how they shape your experience, and how once those assumptions start actually breaking down, because people aren't conforming maybe necessarily anymore, you actually have to confront them and say, well, what do I really believe about this? And this has kind of come to the forefront for me because I've been away from social media quite a bit lately. But in the last few months, I was really noticing just a lot of debate and discussion and interchange and nastiness, especially between men and women on social media about gender norms and how, especially in relationships, what are the expectations? Should a man expect that his female partner is going to make him a sandwich every day and bring him a beer when he comes home from, and
Who cooks
and
or
there is a certain element of men who want to cling to those sort of, under patriarchy, we had those expectations that, a woman's there to serve her man or keep the house tidy. There were these
and we didn't
expectations.
used to need two incomes to live a comfortable life.
Right. So a lot of things have changed that are neither the fault of men alone or women alone, and have been maybe driven by economics, by a capitalist model that is all about channeling wealth upward. And but that has affected the way we interact with each other. And there's a lot of confusion now. And I feel for it on both sides, right? Because I feel the rage of women who have seen, for example, everything coming out around the Epstein files, and yet no justice is done. So what's the message? That we can take your daughters and traffic them with impunity and abuse them with impunity, and nothing, if we're powerful enough, nothing's going to be done about it. So yes, there's a lot of rage about, and it's almost the reaction of like a herd animal that's used to being preyed upon. And finally, it's like enough, enough, enough. So women are asserting themselves strongly, finale. But then on the other side, there are a lot of really good, gentle, kind men who, because they're empathetic, will feel they bear the brunt because they want change to happen. Mm-hmm. They're compassionate about the disadvantage meant of women over thousands of years, and can we set the balance right and all that kind of thing. But they're the ones that are kind of bearing the emotional load on behalf of all men.
Which isn't fair either. Or what,
right, or
what
feeling,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though they probably aren't the ones who have been perpetuating.
No, they're just taking on the blame and the guilt for that.
Yeah.
Well, I just see it as another one of the systems that are shifting. Because like we're saying, in this time, like all of these systems, education, religion, healthcare, and now men and women, that system is also shifting.
Yeah. Well, and so I haven't watched your movie. But the one I watched in French, the reversal was a reversal that actually didn't change the model, right? Mm. It just changed who was on top. And so it was still a hierarchy. It was still certain people have power, and now it's the women. And so it wasn't a model that shifted. And to me, that really speaks to the underlying assumption that someone's got to be on top. It has to be a pyramid, right? There's going to be a leader. Someone's going to have the upper hand. And so I think for a lot of men, the idea of a shifting foundation around gender norms brings in a lot of fear, because if you look at how women have been treated over thousands of years, disadvantaged, rights taken away, treated as property, all those kinds of things, the logical assumption is if we flip that, that's going to be me now, right? If women get the power, what are they going to do? What are they going to take away from us? When we're not looking for a reversal of the pyramid.
Like the system that we want to recreate is not hierarchy.
We want partnership.
Yeah.
We want equality.
Collaboration.
Yes.
We want everyone, community working together for a common good. And
I don't want a world without men.
No.
I mean, I appreciate so many things that men are able to do that I can't, that I'm not even interested in doing.
It's just like we,
to be honest.
We also have a lot of things that they are not necessarily.
And at the same time, when I see a man who is comfortable enough to show his vulnerability or to be tender, I find that extremely sexy and hot in a man.
Yeah.
So patriarchy has fed us so much messaging around what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. And I think it has robbed us both of wholeness and of so much that we could be if we would just break. And that's where I feel grateful, actually, to the Rainbow community, because bringing forward different possibilities of what it means to live in your full personhood.
Your masculine and your feminine.
Right. And to embrace all sides of yourself. It's very permission giving for if people can step out of the fear of, you know, what does this mean for, you know, being a man or being a woman? How about we all just be who we're here to be?
Yeah. And like different signs have more masculine energy and different signs have more feminine energy, and it's all about the balance. And
that we're a mix of all of those signs,
we are,
right?
And we need each other.
Like intellectually, I often feel very masculine because I have a very penetrating intellect, and I want to dig in and very assertively, like, learn about a subject and speak about things. And you know, that's where I really embrace the masculine side of me.
Good.
And yeah, I think like there is something very compelling about the wholeness of a person who's not afraid to embrace all sides of themselves. And you just see how much richness that brings into their life, whether they're male, whether they're female, whether they identify as gender fluid, like the ways that we bring in these different facets of our personality and embrace them with joy it's so compelling and enlivening. And I think I see real hope for the future when I see the ground being opened up for people to stop being so rigid about what they think it means to be masculine or feminine.
Yeah, the video by Elizabeth Gilbert, what stood out to me is how each needed the other, like how the masculine needs the feminine in order to be balanced, and you know, how the feminine needs the masculine in order to be balanced. Because if you're just one energy, that's not good.
Yeah. What I found interesting, speaking of wholeness, because these are two sides of the same coin, right? We've got the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
So she talks about sacred and profane expressions of masculine and feminine.
So what are the ones like that you remember?
Well, it's kind of reversed, right? Because the profane masculine and the profane feminine are the what we typically see under patriarchy. These are kind of the typical societal, cultural, world expressions of what it means to be masculine or feminine. So the profane masculine is an assertive, to the point of can be domineering energy that is very assertive. You know, and this puts a burden on men to have to be that way, right? Because what if you're a gentler personality and that's just not who you are? The burden of having to constantly try to show up as an alpha expression of maleness, you know, that's
not fair.
It's not fair to put
it.
No.
Individuals. Yeah.
And then the women, self-effacing, giving, serving, always putting others first.
Doormat.
Right. That kind of thing, which comes very naturally to some people, but not to others. And again, the burden that it places on women, growing up in the Bible Belt as someone who's not domestic, I always felt inadequate at not being, you know, the good cook who, and I did learn to bake bread and I could make a good loaf of bread, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that I woke up, oh, I'm going to make cinnamon buns today and I'm going to have, you know, take this over to whatever.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to get up and learn something new. I wanted to get up and write something or, so we got pigeonholed into these very narrow definitions of what it means to be masculine and feminine. And to move into the sacred expressions now, which is moving toward wholeness, we need to bring in the other side. So the sacred masculine needs to bring in the caretaking, which especially applies to the earth, but also, you know, the protectiveness, which not only means physical protection of what you perceive as yours, right? This is my
but
woman. You
know,
no one's going to touch her.
Yeah, like the awareness that you don't follow behind them in the dark. Like
and the protection of what is precious in your women and your children, right? I'm going to protect the innocence. I'm going to protect the tenderness. Whereas for women to step into their sacredness now, it is bringing that assertiveness. I will stand up for my needs.
This is what I prefer.
I will assert my gifts into the world. And if I have leadership capabilities, I will express them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking now for greater wholeness, which can only be a good thing for everyone.
Well, yeah.
But it really means opening your mind to the idea that what we have been conditioned to believe is really only a part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become so impoverished at this point that it's not taking us further. We're not evolving through these typical patriarchal definitions of masculine and feminine. They're not bringing us forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not helping us heal the planet.
And the division isn't helping either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see the narrative, well, it's not like I watch news a lot, but I know there is a narrative of like just man hating, but like hating and fighting isn't going to get us anywhere either.
Right. And men have been robbed of their emotional lives. Like when you think of from the time they're little, when boys are told, don't cry, boys can't express. Well, what is that? That's almost like castrating someone's emotional life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's painful.
Mm-hmm.
When boys stop getting hugs, you know, because they've reached school age or whatever, and now they don't receive tenderness anymore. Or even a boy who has aesthetically inclined, right? I can't wear pretty things or bright colors. It's got to be, you know, boy colors. And we get very, it's very stilting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, the joy and the color of when we celebrate Pride Month, you know, it opens a window for people to express different sides of themselves with mm-hmm. joy and, you know, without being self-conscious. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really like if we can be open enough, we have an opportunity to examine a lot of assumptions that have really crippled us.
Mm-hmm.
And kept us from expressing sides of ourselves that we're really here to actually bring out.
It reminds me of yesterday. I was doing a like practice hypnotherapy group with some people. And when it was my turn to dive into my stuff, we were doing like, when you are at your best, you are like what? And I said, delightful. And then we took that word and then we tried to embody it. It's like, what is that? Where do you feel that in your body? And I was like, it feels like in my stomach. It feels like bubbling laughter,
yeah.
You know? And so I was combining the masculine and feminine parts of me where the masculine part was symbolized as a treble clef, like very just black
yeah.
and white
yeah.
and very like sturdy. And then because I'm like trying to create this tattoo. And so like out of the sturdiness of the treble clef comes all these colorful music notes and hearts. Mm. And like, that's like the feminine and how the two parts of me can work together. Like my mental, you know, very sort of like the wise sage part can coexist with the delightful part. And it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like I used to have those things very separated in my mind. Like, who am I? Am I the serious person or am I this delightful person? Well, I can be both.
That's a really important point. And it, like Carl Jung said something like, the highest form of intelligence is to be able to hold the opposites.
The paradox.
To hold yeah. both sides at the same time without going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I know from doing William White Cloud's work that it's the tension of opposites that brings new creativity.
It's like the yin-yang symbol.
Right.
There's not flow without it.
And I think when a system wants to stay entrenched, what's the first thing you do? You get rid of creativity because you don't want new possibilities. You don't want things to shift and change. And so you make sure that you keep things separated and you don't allow that tension to bring out the creativity. And so now if we can get beyond the nastiness, and the insecurity and the fear around, oh, everything's changing. What does that mean? And just say, here's an opportunity to embrace the sides of myself that used to be considered taboo or like, that's not ladylike for a woman to, I don't know, want to be a mechanic or for a man to be a nurse. And we have that mixing, right? I can just imagine as an elderly man going into the hospital for open heart surgery, how comforting that would be to have a male nurse around you to attend on you. Although I've also heard men prefer to have women serve them because that's the norm and that's what they're used to.
Like my middle kid was working at the oil change place for a while. And wow, does she have stories of how the customers treated her. They
yeah.
asked for a man to do their oil change, or even the coworkers and the leadership there
yeah.
leadership
yeah.
treated her really badly. So
we've been so limited by assumptions about our capabilities. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only a good thing if some of that is dissolving and shifting and we have a chance to actually create a freer world for our children and grandchildren to grow up in where they actually are free to bring forward their gifts and not hide them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in education, I hope that they move more towards individuality instead of everyone being like a carbon copy of, you know,
yeah.
little robots. But I was listening to Brené Brown's podcast, The Curiosity Shop, on my way here today, and they were actually talking about like paradoxes and either or, which is, you know, what we've kind of been talking about, the division is the either or. But the more helpful frame is the yes and frame, where you can expand into possibilities. And we want to have both masculine and feminine, when I feel like the solution for this is if all of us individuals, men, women, whatever, whatever you are, to embrace the masculine and feminine sides of yourself, then when you go out into the world, there will be a more balanced world, and we will treat the opposite gender respectfully and equally.
I feel really fortunate because I have a husband who loves to cook. So he does most of the cooking, but also he actually wanted and was willing to stay home for a couple years while I worked. So
I didn't know
I
that
stayed home and homeschooled my kids, but before that, while I was still teaching in Quebec, when our first two kids were born and I needed to go back to work. He was home with the kids for a while, and then later on, once we moved back here to Manitoba, again he was a house husband, and it never bothered him to be
Nice.
the only man in the park when the kids were playing, or to go grocery shopping, and he'd have one kid in a stroller and the other one in a carry pack on his
Yeah,
back.
hopefully we'll see more of that in the future.
Yeah, but I think our kids were enriched by being able to experience having both mom and dad at home. And we made it work. Not everyone can make it work to have someone at home because wages have just not kept up to allow single income families really to exist.
But just to have that open-mindedness of being able to solve an issue and not having the cultural norms hold you back, or who, how, like, what will people think holding us back?
The possibilities that it opens up for kids to see their parents navigating the world and exchanging roles and actually working in partnership with each other, I think is so hopeful.
And embracing the individuality of their kids, whether they show up, in masculine or feminine form, or whether they whatever they identify as, the open-mindedness about that would be very nice.
So I would just invite people, if you get triggered by anything that's going on around masculine, feminine gender norms, or now we're moving into Pride Month. And so, examine assumptions. Is it just an assumption that you hold or conditioning that comes from early life? And what new possibilities are there to open your world and give you greater freedom to express who you are?
Yeah, and you don't necessarily have to agree with everything that another group stands for to love them. You don't have to agree with your friends', values or beliefs to love them, or your family's, like, you just love them.
We're all part of the human family. So
Until next time.
keep singing your heart song.